They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie. Fellas, I'm holding in my hands right now one of the most gorgeous bottles of whiskey I've ever seen. 5-9 Whiskey from the crew over at Troll Co. They decided to whip up a bourbon that is all about grit and sweat. Meet 5-9. Two oil field guys figured, hey, why not turn our daily grind into something that you can sip on? I mean, who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey, right? This stuff is made from 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They went all in. And what about the name? Well, 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. till 9 p.m. Forget that 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat and the toil. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into their whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Head over to 59whiskey.com. That's F-I-V-E, 9 spelled out, whiskey.com. And use the promo code ZABECAST20 for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up, 59 Whiskey from Troll Co. It is mwah, fantastic. It is not every day you see a brand that represents the pride and attitude of the blue-collar community. You may know them for their tagline, "Dirty hands, clean money." Troll Company is for those who keep the gears turning with sweat, grit, and a whole lot of hustle. They celebrate hard-working trades with their high-quality, badass t-shirts, hoodies, and more. These guys are not just slapping logos on tees and calling it a day. These guys are the real deal. Built by blue-collar for blue-collar. So if you're looking for a brand that reps your grind, check out TrollCoClothing.com. That's TrollCoClothing.com. Head to TrollCoClothing.com and use promo code ZABECAST20 for 20% off your first order. Support blue-collar work. Dirty hands, clean money.
Third and six for Philadelphia. Hurts has time. Now locates Barkley out of the backfield. Barkley slips two tackles and picks up the first down. Tipping up in the air to the 30. A gain of 14 for Barkley.
Out of moves right here. Makes the first guy miss. The spin move at the last second. Bro. And then, what, Kiki, you're wrong. Bro. What is that?
Bro, we got to see this again. This kid is special, man. Just, you didn't even think to do that.
To paraphrase the great Vern Lundquist, in your life, have you seen a move like that?
Feeling down and dirty, feeling kind
of, I think it's the greatest single highlight in the history of the National Football League. As a pure highlight, not historically significant, not perhaps as cinematic as some other highlights, but in terms of just pure jaw-dropping, what the hell was even that? How are you going to beat what Saquon Barkley did? A reverse matrix hurdle. Or whatever they're going to call it in Philly. Good thing the Eagles didn't fuck the game up and lose, although they tried. Oh, boy, did they try. Nick Sirianni, I'd say get him a laminated card that explains when to kick field goals, when to go for fourth downs, and maybe when to go for two. But he's too dumb to fucking read it, I bet. He'd still screw it up. Lots to talk about on this Tuesday, November 5, 2024. Thank you for joining me. El Baldo once again flying solo today. I forgot that Andy is in Mexico with his son Jeremy, who just got married. And mazel mazel, good things. I'm looking forward to hearing the report. We may have Andy on tomorrow, or we might just make him wait until his regular rotation next week. But I got NFL stuff to talk about, including our half day, myself and Jason Ottum, good friend, show listener, MVP of Sunburn Bowl One, Marine, great guy who made the dumbest call of his life to volunteer to be my wingman Sunday at Lambeau Field. I don't know what came over him. I said, you know, I do have an extra ticket. And if you want to flip your gold package tickets to somebody for even money or just whatever you can get back, you can come with me. It'll be fun. That's what we said to ourselves. It'll be fun. Narrator, it was not, in fact, fun. Not just the weather, but the outcome of the game in which the Detroit Lions pretty much put the Packers in a headlock, out-executed them, caught everything that was thrown their way, unlike Green Bay, and was in control of the game, despite the seemingly close 24-14 final score. And no, we did not stay for the whole game, not even close. We didn't even stay for the end of the first half. As soon as the two-minute warning hit, we were quite soaked. Well, I was wearing a Gore-Tex golf rain suit, and I was fairly dry, but not warm enough, because really nailing the amount of underlayers you need to not be too hot versus to be cold, didn't quite nail that. Temps were down in the mid-40s by the time the game got close to halftime. Steady rain, miserable day, and my fingers were starting to go, even though I had gloves. Because, you know, you want to get your phone out from time to time. You got to get the assets. Oh, let me get a picture. You know, and I met a very nice Zabecast listener who was one row behind me, and I'm killing me that I don't remember your name, sir. But thank you very much for saying hi and saying you were a loyal listener from back in the day. He subscribes as well. Met a listener of my morning show on the game, former Wisconsin basketball player, Shuby, and he was really nice, and we took a picture there, and the Packers sucked, and they got killed. Because they committed way too many penalties, way too many pre-snap penalties, dumb personal fouls, dropping passes. Detroit's only mistake, big mistake, was Brian Branch, who definitely went missile hunting head-to-head on wide receiver Bo Melton, got a flag for it, and then got ejected once they looked at the hit on video. And that's when he decided to flip off the refs, or the spider cam in the air, or the fans, or who knows what. They threw another flag. 30 yards of penalties. And they end up getting no points out of it because they missed a field goal. That's brutal right there. You're sitting there in the rain watching that going, what the fuck? And then the pick six by Jordan Love was brutal. just a bad play. He's not healthy. And it'll sound like I'm making excuses for him, but he had a chance to step up into the pocket. There's a juicy gap at left guard. You climb up into that pocket, you shoot through that gap, then you set up shop, and he's got Jaden Reed streaking wide open for a 70-yard touchdown, where he would, as the football people like to say, hit his head against the goalpost. He was that wide open. Instead, Love immediately retreated backwards, flipped a pass high and soft to what he thought was going to be Josh Jacobs. Instead, it turned out to be Kirby Joseph. Next thing you know, it's a pick six, and the game is a whole different game. That was at the end of the first half. We didn't see that live. We were already hoofing it to our car, and we have no regrets. Or as I like to say, no regerts. But yeah. So there you go on that. The day was fine. It was nice. It was cold. I've been to a couple football games this year. I've been to two at Lambeau Field, the Viking game I also left early, but not that early. And the Jacksonville game, we stayed to the end because it was actually easy to get out down there. So I think I've gone to enough games in person. Here's the thing, and I'm not breaking any news here. Everyone listening who's ever been to an NFL game knows this at heart. You miss so much at the stadium. I mean, they try with the announcements and the Videotron and the, you know, the scores and the graphics and the this. you just miss it. You don't know what's fully going on. Such as on the targeting call I just mentioned, we got like one replay of it, and you kind of got a sense of, all right. But we didn't hear Tom Brady inexplicably say he didn't like the call. Didn't like the call because he thought that there needed to be more of a intentional demonstration to try to hurt somebody. I forget the way he phrased it. People killed Brady for that, saying, you know, all Tom Brady ever did when he played was to bitch and moan and cry and try to get every personal foul call he could. And all of a sudden, he's now in the broadcast booth, and he's acting like a tough guy. I want football to be the way it was, you know? Let's let him play out there. Part of the problem of letting him play is that you saw what happened to Chris Olave and the Saints. And that's a scary thing. He was released from the hospital Monday morning, so he is going to be mostly okay. I don't want to say he's going to be okay. That's a very flippant phrase that people often say. Like, he'll be okay. Well, it's not you. That's why. You're going to go to bed tonight perfectly fine. This guy's going to have searing headaches, blurred vision, who knows what, for some period of time. Your definition of okay is a lot different. Now, that pass to Olave was a Derek Carr special, high over the middle, leading him right into danger. And it prompted former Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas, a.k.a. Can't Guard Mike, one of the premier wideouts in the NFL, a guy who caught 140 passes at the peak of his connection with Drew Brees, now out of the league due to injuries, and we now know, cray-cray. He starts ripping Derek Carr on social media. I mean, boom, boom, one tweet after another, calling him ass, saying he does this to receivers. I mean, it was completely unhinged. After the game, Derek Carr was asked about it, and he said, look, I don't know what I did to get on his bad side. I think I've got pretty good relations with a lot of ex-teammates, including wide receivers, but for whatever reason, he never liked me. Yeah, because you're not Drew Brees. He got spoiled. He is stuck on his highest setting as a wide receiver, and now he's out of the NFL. Part of the problem is now quarterbacks throw these balls into those death traps more frequently because the rules were changed to not allow DBs and safeties to just come across and chuck Cecil guys. If you know, you know. And so because they're willing to throw that ball now more, sometimes the DBs won't be able to turn off their instinct to hunt. They'll be like a pit bull that just click, goes back into pit bull mode and decides to decapitate somebody. Or they'll lead with their shoulder to try to not get a penalty, and a shoulder decleating is almost just as bad. But when it comes to Derek Carr, he now owns an amazing record in the NFL. He became the first ever quarterback to lose to 31 different teams in the National Football League. And he apparently, I think I read this, he has a chance to collect them all, collect the entire set later on this year if he keeps on starting and keeps on playing for the Saints. I didn't see what team it is he still has to collect. It's probably a Charizard, like Pokemon. It's the hardest one to get, but if he gets it, that's a hell of a thing. Probably not one you would tell your kids and grandkids. Come sit up on old Uncle Derek's knee here. Let me tell you about the time I lost to every team in the NFL. He also has the record. This has apparently never been done. That a coach, because Dennis Allen got canned, and deservedly so, long overdue. He's been canned now mid-season with Derek Carr as his quarterback twice. Once with the Raiders and now with the Saints. I never understood why they really liked this guy so much. Why he got two jobs in the NFL. Some coaches must know how to sort of tickle owners' innards on these interviews. And they get multiple jobs when you're like, why does he keep getting hired? But then again, some guys on their second go-round do better. They learn. They go, okay, if I get another shot, I can do this. I would say that Radio Raheem Morris is that guy in Atlanta. As they put another brick on the Cowboys' tombstone for this year, with a solid win in which Kirk Cousins was really good, only missed like five passes out of 33, 300 yards, three touchdowns. Let me get the exact stats on that because I do not want to misquote it. But, you know, I've confessed to being a Kirk jerk, and I've explained exactly why. Because he is a competent, professional, dedicated to his craft, no bullshit, humble grinder. And an overachiever. And in today's age of sports, we need those guys more than ever. Not 300 yards. 222 yards for Kirk. Three touchdowns. And just another game in which he effortlessly spread the ball around. 19 of 24. So he did miss five passes. I mean, that's really, really clean. Dak only missed six passes, 18 to 24 himself before leaving the game while getting hurt, but he only had 133 yards and one touchdown. I forgot to mention, I should have used this as my angle for Your Looking Live. I should have said, it's Kirk versus Black Kirk. I think Dak is similar in a lot of ways. It doesn't help that he was seen on the sideline saying, we fucking suck. That's not a good look for a quarterback, whether it's true or not. But I'm happy to see Cousins doing well. I'm happy to see the Falcons 6-3. They went out and they paid money, a very decent price overall, that some thought was still too much money for a quarterback who is a professional quarterback coming off an Achilles. And they were wondering, well, is he going to be any good? And how long will it be before, you know, he gives way to the rookie they drafted high in the draft? Well, that can wait right now because they're playing good football. The Cowboys, meanwhile, at 3-5, are not. And they are in deep, deep shit now. Not only did Dak leave the game with an injury, Cooper Rush came in. He was 13 of 25. Woof. But CeeDee Lamb got hurt, came back into the game with his injured shoulder, caught a touchdown pass, doubled over in pain. You got Jerry Jones doing his post-game interview in the bowels of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, just unleashing a litany of, here's what I like about Mike McCarthy. He works hard. He's got a great football mind. He gets on well with the players. He's got his heart into this thing. We've had success with him before in the regular season. It was almost like, oh, shit, you are so getting fired, dude, because he's listing all these nice things to then follow it up with, but you're fired. It's an impossible situation at this point. I'm not blaming necessarily a lot of it on the highly successful football coach. He took the hardest job in the league because of Jerry and the way that team is run. And he's had regular season success. And because of the way they've handled contracts and paid guys and not paid guys and some injuries, now he's up against it. And, of course, they let him run into the final year of his contract as coach. So it's just a matter of time. Also, what I want to know is, why did Dak have a hat that had a backwards D on it? It was the Dallas Cowboys D, but it was backwards. Is that somebody who knows whatever this is, fill me in, please. Is this now a alt hat? Why is it backwards? Did he cook it up himself? Is it? I mean, it seems kind of disrespectful. If your alternate logo is the big D, shouldn't it be facing the correct direction? I don't know. That said, let's get back to Saquon for a second. So how on earth does he process in that short a time the moves required to make that play? Hurts with the check down, catches it about a yard behind the line of scrimmage. Here comes a defender straight at him. Defender does sort of the feet, buzz, wings, wrap. He gets set to try to tackle him and then lunges forward for Saquon, who just deftly shifts to the right and with his left arm sheds him like he was nothing. Now here comes defender two, sort of like a hapless adversary in a Jackie Chan karate movie, where he's going to take on a whole room full of bad guys and beat them one by one by one by two by one by two by two. Here comes defender number two. He thinks he's got Barkley. Squares up, arms out, feet, wings, buzz. Barkley hits him with the right jab step. And then a nuclear spin to the outside, utterly breaking the DB's ankles, proceeds to then come upon a third defender. He's already gotten a first down at this point, so he's 13 yards downfield from when he caught the check down. And it looks, as I'm staring at the freeze frame here, it looks like he is about to try another spin move. But for some reason, he decides in a split second to do something that has literally never been seen before. You can go through every minute and every second of every hour of every giant reel of NFL films archival footage. Nobody's ever done this. Plants his left foot, does a jump step hop, and turns his back to the defender, and kicks his legs out in a V and gets them perpendicular to the ground. Well, almost perpendicular. They're a little bit bent. His ass has got to be, at that point, 5 feet off the ground. And the defender, old number 22 for the Jaguars, Jaguars DB number 22, Jerrion Jones, who's a rookie out of Florida State, 96th overall pick, so good player. Jerrion Jones is left with a what the fuck just happened? Whoop! Gone. The ability athletically to do that, even if you are choreographing it, is hard enough. If you said, okay, I want this defender here, that defender there, and I'm going to come up to you, and then I'm going to twist, and I'm going to jump, and then you come try to tackle me and just go right under me and right through my legs, grasping nothing but air, that alone would be really hard to do. And Saquon Barkley did this in the flow of the game. It's the sickest thing I think I've ever seen, and I think most of you guys would agree. If it were Madden, it'd be called a glitch. And people would be ripping the game going, man, these programmers have pretty much stopped trying in Madden. There's a glitch. Yeah, what's the glitch? Well, you go right trigger, left shoulder, B button, and then you hold the direction stick down. Yeah, seems kind of hard to do while I'm trying to play Madden. Yeah, but if you do it, okay, what was it again? Right trigger, left shoulder, B button, double click, hold the stick down. Yeah? You can make Saquon Barkley jump in the air and split his legs and have defenders go right under you. Really? Well, let me try that here. Fuck! Look at that! I just did it! It would be a glitch is what it would be. And they'd be saying, come on. So I started thinking then, what is the sickest, most incomprehensible move in all of NFL history? And this is where I'm going to need you guys, the throbbing brain, because you could Google and you go to YouTube and say, you know, sickest NFL or coolest NFL highlights, most spectacular NFL highlights. Some that stick out in my mind. Obviously, the catch in the Packer-Viking game off the legs of then, not of Sterling Sharp, I think it was. Let me get this. Where Al Michaels says, he did what? That's a great play, but it's more fluky than anything else. The ball just landed on the receiver's legs. Vikings, Packers, Al Michaels, he did what? Antonio Freeman, sorry about that. It's overtime, by the way.
Lays it up for Freeman, and it's incomplete. Did he make the catch at the 15?
Yes.
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
There it is right there. Overtime. Rivalry game, the late Dennis Green on the sideline, Super Sky Point.
Well, the Packers are going wild. The crowd's going wild.
It's the Mike Sherman-led Packers at the time.
But they'll have to look at it upstairs.
Dick Hantak is your referee. See, I didn't remember it was Antonio Freeman, but I can sight recognize Dick Hantak.
Antonio Freeman. Wow. Right on his left. Watch his left arm bring the ball up in the air. And he's
okay, watching it again, I mean, that thing is that fluky, yes, and to win the game, amazing. Okay, great. Rivalry, fine. Overtime, that's a bonus. Not even close to just how sick the move was from Saquon Barkley. I would say Bo Jackson truck-sticking guys. I would say the highlight of Barry Sanders, where, and there's been a ton of them, but there's one particular highlight where he comes pressing up into a group of defenders and then pretty much does this backwards hop where he hit reverse, jump stop, back hop, and got out of a circle of guys and kept running. Amazing. Earl Campbell having his tearaway jersey ripped to shreds as he kept motoring on and trucking guys is a great highlight. It's not as good of an athletic feat as what Saquon Barkley did. Obviously, the Odell Beckham Jr. catch was number one in terms of catches and for a long time. And then, of course, Garrett Wilson outdid him. The Devontae Smith one-handed catch in this game after Barkley did his move late that gave the Eagles some cushion is another unbelievably sick catch. But I don't think anything's going to top Saquon Barkley for a long, long time because it's like never been done. The one highlight that I had to look it up, and I found it. I was like, there was a Bengals receiver. Can't remember if it was T. Higgins or T.J. Houshmandzadeh or maybe Chad Johnson. I don't think it was, certainly not Ja'Marr Chase. I'm like, there was a Bengals receiver who I recall flipping into the end zone over a defender and sticking the landing for a touchdown. 9 years ago, send it in, Jerome. Jerome Simpson did this.
Wide open, man. A flick into the end zone by Jerome Simpson. Oh, goodness.
Send it in, Jerome.
You'll be seeing that one the rest of today, into tomorrow, the entire week. It's one thing to leap over a guy. It's another thing to finish the flip on your feet.
Yeah, the landing which he stuck was pretty amazing.
Good pocket for Andy. He throws. Nice. Simpson makes the catch. He's to the 10, the 5. Oh, he leaps and goes flying into the end zone, Superman style, for Jerome Simpson. Andy Dalton's 20th touchdown pass, 16-0 Bengals.
There you go. That's the local call. I believe the national call was the now-disgraced Tom Brenneman calling it for Fox at the time. He didn't actually have to flip the Cardinals defender. He had an easy duck in by just lowering his shoulder or angling towards the pylon. But Jerome Simpson said, fuck it, watch this. And I mean, he was way in the air. And like I said, stuck the landing. How is it that a guy like that can stick the landing on a massive flip into the end zone and not blow out both knees? While, Martin Gramatica does a celebration after a field goal and blows out his knee. Or was that one of the Zendejai brothers? Oh boy, I'm starting to lose my mind at this point. That said, amazing play. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat. Lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Quickly around the rest of the league, some of the other notes and stuff. The Ravens ripped the Broncos 41-10. The Broncos in this game ran a fourth down play at the goal line where they had a halfback option pass back to Bo Nix, their quarterback, who caught it and scored a touchdown barely, but got slammed to the ground. Nice play, but okay, Sean Payton, you're at the one. That is not a high percentage play. A lot of moving parts right there. Sure, it worked, Also, your quarterback got pretty well dinged up. Ravens are 6-3, but when they're on, they are a high-powered machine. Lamar Jackson, 3 more touchdowns. Derrick Henry, 2 more touchdowns. Both men lead their categories at quarterback and at running back, which is almost unprecedented this deep into the season. The Chargers told the Browns, yeah, you're the Browns. Let's not forget it. As the 1 week good karma party, they remembered the life and legacy of their beloved longtime announcer, and Jameis Winston came in, gave him a shot in the arm while the Chargers said, okay, that's over. 27-10, your final there. The Browns are 2-7, their season's over. And look out, Jimmy Hardpaw, he's got the Bolts 5-3 now. The Bills hang on and beat the Dolphins thanks to a late touchdown by Josh Allen, who just got murdered on this little 5-yard flip into the end zone. 30-27, your final. As Tua Tagovailoa had 2 touchdowns in this game. He's played well in the 2 games since coming back, but now they're 2-6, and they're pretty much done for. That division is a wrap at this point as the Bills move to 7-2. The Bengals rip the Raiders 41-24 as dysfunction continues with Las Vegas. They fired a bunch of assistant coaches and their OC, Luke Getsy, who is supposed to be this wonder kid. I remember when he was in Green Bay, and they're like, oh, Getsy's the best. This guy's really good. Yeah, well, he just got fired with the Raiders. You know who the Raiders wanted as their OC, and he turned him down to take the Commander's job. That's right, Cliff with a K, Kingsbury. Bengals are hanging in there now 4-5 on the season. Raiders are in swirl the bowl mode at 2-7. The Titans, in overtime, beat the Patriots 20-17. And Gerard Mayo is a pussy. Now, I wouldn't say that to his face because he's a big guy who could probably kick my ass. But they score a touchdown. Drake May with this amazing run around last second touchdown pass with zeros on the clock. And they're on the road. And he doesn't go for 2. Kicks the extra point to make it an overtime game. They lose in overtime 20-17. What are you doing, Gerard? Now you're 2-7. You were 2-6. You had a chance to win a big game on a great play at the end. You go for that. Titans are 2-6 as well. So there you go. The Saints lost to the Panthers with a statistical improbability of something like 250 yards of offense, no turnover. It was this array, a set of stats that teams had been 250-0 since the start of the merger, winning a game with these stats, and somehow Dennis Allen found a way to lose it. That's why he is fired today. Both teams are 2-7. Woof. That division is a two-team division. The Commanders go to 7-2. They beat the Giants 27-22. Looky, looky, another clean game for Jaden Daniels. 15 of 22, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. This kid doesn't make mistakes. Or at least he hasn't yet. He has yet to look stupid, flummoxed, taking dumb risks with the football, passing it this year. Also ran for 35 yards on 8 carries, long of 16. The Giants are terrible, and they've fallen out to 2-7 themselves. How good are the Commanders? I'll let Andy weigh in on that when I talk to him next. But they haven't been 7-2. Since 96. And that 96 team had Gus Frerot and Terry Allen. Terry Allen, I heard Grant Paulson today on JFK in D.C. When I was driving home say that in 1995 or 96, when this last time the franchise was 7-2 or better, Terry Allen had 350 carries for 1,300 yards on the season. Just think about that for a second. The league was a lot different, and it was a grinded out team that I think finished 9-7 and barely missed the playoffs. Cardinals beat the Bears 29-9, and it was a shit show all around for Chicago. The biggest, well, there's a couple things. One, Caleb Williams got hurt in the final 18 seconds of the game, getting sacked because the O-line lost both their offensive tackles. And they were getting pushed over like a dessert cart. And He gets injured with 18 seconds left. Why is he even on the field? It's 29-9. Get him off the field. He'd already been hurt earlier in the game running for his life. You have DJ Moore, who's been paying a lot of money on one play, walk off the field in mid-play. Just kind of like, it looked like he might have grabbed something as an injury and then said, that's it, I'm out. Walked off the field. I don't think I've ever seen that before. This comes after the lead up to the game in which Tyrique Stevenson didn't like the fact that he was being told he couldn't start. And so therefore he took himself out of practice a couple days in protest. What, you're not going to let me start? Just because of the Hail Mary thing where I wasn't paying attention and I was acting like a jackass? Yeah. Okay, well, fuck it. I'm not going to practice. There is internal dissension. The coaching staff is not respected. They're making dumb decisions. It is a disaster. And the Bears are still 4-4, but it's teetering. Their four wins have come against some very mangy opponents. And I know you play only who's on your schedule. Cardinals are 5-4. They could be a factor in the NFC West. Mentioned the Eagles game over the Jaguars, 28-23. One other note from this game. Aside from Sirianni not knowing when to kick a field goal, not knowing when to go for it, what's high risk, what's low risk, what makes sense, the basic math of everything. They stopped the tush push twice in this game from the highlight package I saw on NFL Network. That's interesting. Obviously, with Kelce out, and he apologized tonight on Monday Night Football on ESPN, he said, I responded to hate with hate. I've got to be better. Yes, you do. Apology, I don't want to say accepted. I'm not the one that needs to hear it, but okay. Looks like that'll be the extent of any, quote, discipline from ESPN. The Eagles without Kelce, the tush push is not nearly as effective. He was clearly the secret sauce in making that work. But also teams might be better figuring out just how to stop it. Because the Jaguars stuffed it twice, and that was a big factor in this game. It was close, but the Eagles win. They're 6-2. Mentioned the Lions-Packers game. Don't need to talk about that. Rams and Seahawks was an amazing overtime thriller that ended on a touchdown pass in the end zone for the Rams with time dwindling in this game in overtime. There was a throw as well from Stafford that went into quintuple coverage, or so it seemed. It was the riskiest pass ever, and somehow the Rams wide receiver just swooped on in and made the catch. Cooper Kupp, 11 catches for 104 yards. Fuck, I could have used that in fantasy in guillotine league, but I had him for the couple weeks when he was still out and was coming back in. It was Tyler Johnson who made the catch into like quadruple coverage. My friend Geno Smith with 104-yard pick six. Oof. And then the Colts and Vikings entertained us on Sunday night to a 21-13 game that was not entertaining at all. It was mostly bad football. Joe Flacco, Sam Darnold. Darnold played pretty well, all things considered. Did throw two picks, but was 28-34 with three touchdowns. Flacco, not so much. 16-27 with a pick. And the Vikings were sitting on a four-point lead late. They score a touchdown to break the spread. I think it was Minnesota minus six. So, yeah, it was going to be a Colts backdoor cover. Then the Minnesota Vikings score. Then Shane Steichen and the Colts get in position for at least a field goal down 11. They kick it to make the final score 8. It still was a cover for Minnesota, and that concluded week number 9, at least on Sunday. Tonight, we got football going on right now, and I am not even looking at it because I don't have the TV on, but wow, look at that. Look at the time. 35 minutes have gone. I think I've done a decent job of running down my thoughts and some anecdotes from my trip to Lambeau Field. And I'm going to call that good enough for tonight. I hope you appreciate it. I hope it's good enough. We will catch up with my normal, regularly scheduled guests as the week progresses. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, Election Day. Keep it sane, people, one way or the other. Keep it sane and let's not do anything nuts, okay? Let's try to have a nice election that, I don't know, maybe we can know the winner by the time we go to bed. Something in me says, don't be so optimistic, but we shall see. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamond South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC Diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.